Hello, everyone. Welcome to session three of level three. And we're back on this teaching, the sword of the Spirit. And so if you haven't already done it, get your Bibles out, get your notebooks out, because I've got something so good for you today. But I've got a lot that I want to cover, so we're going to move very quickly. So let's open up in prayer, can we? Father, we thank you for this opportunity to open up the precious written Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Help us to learn to open up not only our ears, but our hearts. And Lord, enlighten us in our understanding. And may the sword of the Spirit become once again so clear to us. And may we have confidence to use it. And may we be skilled in using it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And let's just pray in the Spirit for a moment here and sort of get the moving of the Spirit inside. You know, when your heart is prepared, you can grasp more. And so if you're distracted or you're in the flesh in terms of your thinking, you know, what the Bible calls the carnal mind, which is enmity against God, the Bible says, and cannot understand the things of God, we need to get over in the Spirit to where we can be what Paul called spiritually minded. And so let's pray in the Holy Spirit right now and just allow the Holy Spirit to begin to move from the inside of us. So, Hombra Katara, Shili Divra Brakatara, and Lokuhu. Hem Bruru Shuluru Tulukur, Shili Divra Branda la Carra Vrabraha. Hem Brukutura, Shili Divra Brakatara, Shalerata la Kuhu. Hem Bruru Shili Divra Brara, Shalerata la Kurra Vrabranda la Kaha. Hem brukutura shili divra branda la kurra shili divra braha. He turukutura shili divra brukutura shalara tala kuhu. Ham brukutura shili divra branda la kurra shili divra branda la kaha. Holy Spirit, move among us in your teaching ministry that Jesus told us about. He said you would teach us all things and bring to our remembrance all things that he said to us. And so we welcome you to do that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me do a little bit of review here. And by the way, we had an abbreviated time of praying in the Spirit, but I encourage you to have extended times of praying in the Spirit. This session is primarily for teaching, but make sure you pray in the Spirit every day and allow the Holy Spirit to enlighten you to things. And that's one of the great treasures and gifts that Jesus brought to us in the new birth and with the New Testament is the privilege of being filled with the Spirit, which you know well. Okay, let me review a little bit, but I'm going to start today after the review with Isaiah chapter 55, so you may want to turn there. But we've been studying the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit. Today I'm going to talk about the power of the tongue, the power of the tongue. Let me read our foundational text, and I'll just read a portion of it from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 13. And the Apostle Paul said this. Well, I like to say it this way. The Holy Spirit said through the Apostle Paul in verse 13, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore having," which means already having done this, "having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which," I like this part, "you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." Amen. And verse 17, here's our text. "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Rhema of God. The Rhema of God. Now, notice it's not just the Rhema, because Rhema means the spoken word. Well, people are speaking all the time. That's not the sword of the Spirit. It's the Rhema of God. In other words, when we're speaking words out of our mouth, but those words are of God. That's the sword of the Spirit. So that takes us to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, which says, for the word, logos, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And so, we find out here that the Logos is living, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So, when we use our Rhema words to speak the Logos of God, that's the sword of the Spirit. And that's why, remember, Jesus did not just speak godly things to the devil in the wilderness. He said, "It is written." It is written. Notice he was using his words to quote what was established, what was written, what he knew to be the word of God. And he voiced those words. And when he voiced those words, the devil decided to leave and come back for a more opportune time. And so we're talking about the sword of the Spirit and taking God's words and speaking those words with faith. And the Bible calls that the sword of the Spirit. Let me just introduce another thought. When we say the sword of the Spirit, don't get the idea that in the Spirit it looks like a sword. What we're talking about is the weapon of the Spirit. Notice all the other armor is defensive in terms of the breastplate to protect, the shield to protect, the shoes, you know, to protect your legs and such. That didn't just mean way down on your feet like our shoes. It was something that came up over the shins to protect. But when you get to the weapon of the Spirit, he lists one directly, but then he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And I've heard some teachers call praying in the Spirit the javelin or the spear, something you can toss and it can take care of business before you ever got there, praying in the Spirit. And so this is a weapon. This is an offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit. We really could say the weapon of the Spirit is the Word of God. Now, let me look at one more text to review. You remember Romans 10, 9 and 10. Paul said that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, homoleo, you remember this? And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession, homoleo, was made unto salvation. So, homoleo is how you got born again. How you went from death to life. How you went from eternal damnation on your way to hell to eternal life on your way to heaven by homoleo. That's a compound word. Homo, you know that means the same. And logos is the other part of the word, but it means to speak the same thing. In other words, here, speak what God said. So when you hear the gospel preached to you, when you hear the word of God preached to you, and you believe it, and then you speak, yes, I believe Jesus is Lord. Yes, I believe he died on the cross for my sins. You're saying the same thing as the word of God that you heard, and that got you born again. Well, if it can get you born again, it can get you healed. If it can get you born again, it can change your financial situation around. And so we're going to talk today specifically about how our words make a difference in our lives. Our words make a difference in our lives. Isaiah 55 is where we'll begin today, talking of the power of the tongue. And I'm going to start by showing you about God's words. It says in Isaiah 55, 11, God said, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please and prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Notice, God says, "So shall my words be." So he's talking about his words. God says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please and prosper in the thing for which I sent it." So God's saying, when I speak something, I expect what I said to come to pass. So shall it be. Now, are you like that? Do you say things and stick to it? Or do you, based on what you see happening around you, do you change what you say? Well, Maybe it's not going to happen. You never heard God say that. He said, so shall my word be. God is extremely intentional with his words. And once he speaks them, he stands behind them, expecting them to come to pass. Now here's something we need to remember. We were created in the image and in the likeness, the makeup of God. Now, you're not God. And if you ever get to thinking you are, we'll have to straighten you out. You're not God. But you are, if you're born again, a joint heir with Christ. An heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. So you become part of Jesus now. You're in him and he's in you. So you're as close as you can get now. Okay? Because we're in him and he's in us. All right? Now, but we were made in his likeness. In other words, unlike all of the other animals or the plant life, we have the ability to do what God does. God speaks and things happen. We speak and things happen. Why? Because we were not just created to look like God in his general image. We're created to be like him, to function like him. In fact, think about this. Many people overlook this. When God said in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image and according to our likeness, what's the very next thing he said? And let them have dominion. So God has dominion. He's God. But the very first thing he did was he created us to be like him. And then he said, let them have dominion like we have dominion. So we were created to have dominion. We were created to function like God functions. Though we're not God, he didn't create another God. He created man. But we were created as man to be like him and to function like him under his authority. Can someone say amen to that? And so under God's authority, we're supposed to function like God functions and with those same capacities and abilities. And so we should be just as intentional with our words. And we should stand by what we say. And we should expect what we say to come to pass just like God did. What did Jesus say in Matthew 5:37? He said, but let your yes be yes and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is of the wicked one or from the wicked one. So God cares about our words. God cares about our words. And I believe that we don't see the same level of effectiveness that God sees or that we should because we speak double talk. We speak in confidence one day and the next day we speak what we see. And because we're negating our own words, we become ineffective. We whip out the sword one day and speak the word of God, and the next day we take a stick of common words or unbelief and we knock the sword down. And because it's us speaking, we have the authority to knock it down. No one else has the authority to knock what I say down regarding my life because that's my life. But I can do it that fast. See? So we need to be like God. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So we should, homoleo, take the word of God and speak what God said and stand by it, expecting it to come to pass. Why? Because that's what God taught us to do. Now, did you know that your body follows your words? I know some of you don't even want to think about that. But it's true. Your body follows your words. Let's listen to James speak to us from James chapter 3. James says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Notice, if you can hold your words, you can bridle your whole body. He goes on to say in verse 3, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Verse 4, look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. So what we see is that your body is as it was listening to your mouth to see where it's supposed to go, to see what it's supposed to like. I remember when I had been delivered from the bondage of lust. I knew I was delivered. I was free. I could tell that spirit was gone. But I continued here and there to fall into that bondage and to struggle with that old lust. And the Lord had to teach me, you've got to change the way you talk. Because just being a part of our world, those sexual jokes come to mind. And you hear somebody say something or something that comes to your mind that's a double meaning or a sexual innuendo. And before you know it, you blurted it out and it was funny, okay. But what God told me was, Proverbs 17 says, he who has a perverse mouth falls into evil. And God says, you're speaking it and then your body falls into it and you wonder why. You're the one telling your body to do it. Well, I didn't realize I was telling my body to do it. I read James chapter 3 and I knew that my body follows the tongue, but I didn't think it was real or something. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know it's in the Bible, but you think somehow you're going to get away with it. Like, well, it's not going to affect all those areas, but it does. It affects all those areas. And so I had to go and wash my mouth out with the washing of the water of the word and commit to God. I'm not telling any more of those jokes. When something comes to mind that's just a funny thing, but it's sexual, it's perverse, I'm not going to say it. And guess what? My body stopped responding that direction. I started speaking righteousness. I started speaking a different way. See? So we have the answers right here in the precious word of God, but our biggest problem is our mouth. In fact, tell the person next to you, I know that's your problem. Come on, tell them. You think about a man that's always talking about girls. Oh man, she's fine, or she's got a nice this or a nice those or whatever. How can he not have tendencies that direction if he speaks that? See, so yes, it's important what we put into our ears. Yes, it's important what we put into our eyes, but it's also important what comes out of our mouth, because our body's following our mouth. Your mouth leads the way for your life. And that's true for your body, according to James. If you're always talking about cars, oh, I like this kind of car, that kind of car, you're going to be attracted to go after cars. And cars are going to distract you. That's not necessarily bad, but it's just a reality. Is that what you want to spend your time doing? I hear some people say, you know, they want to eat healthy, but three sentences later they say, oh, I love chocolate. I love chocolate. I love chocolate. Well, you love it even more now. Why? Because you're declaring it. You're using your words. You're using something that was given to you as a guide to your life, and you're saying, chocolate, chocolate, and you love it. And it could be desserts. It could be any number of things. I love French fries. I love to eat. If you just say, I love to eat, you keep saying it. Keep saying it, and you're going to love it even more. See, we have the decision to make as to whether our mouths are going to be thermostats or thermometers. See, a thermometer tells you what the temperature is now. A thermostat tells you what you want the temperature to be. And you can use your mouth to set the temperature where you want it to be in your life, and then the temperature will come to that. Instead, we keep using our mouths to say what's happening now. I love chocolate. I love to eat. I don't like to exercise. I don't like it. See, and some of you are giggling because you've heard yourself say that, or you've heard other people say that, not realizing that according to the Word of God, You're choosing the direction of your life. You're choosing where your body goes. What a precious gift of insight for us to realize that God designed us to be able to lead our lives with our words. And your life will follow the path that your words created. So your words create a path for your life, and your life will just naturally follow. And that includes your body. Listen to Proverbs 12:18. It says, "There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health." There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. So if you'll use your tongue wisely, it'll bring health to your body, save you some doctor visits or surgeries or treatments just by speaking the word of God. You know, Proverbs 4, verse 20 says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." So the word of God is health to our flesh. How does it become health to our flesh? You bring it into your heart and you speak it out of your mouth and it becomes health to your flesh. Same way you got born again. His words are life. But notice what he said. Give attention to it. Incline your ear to it. Let them not depart from your eyes. Why? Because if you can get the word into your ears and into your eyes, it'll go down in your heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And all of a sudden, these words bring health to you. See, so your body will snap to with your words. But we need to be intentional about our words and not talk double talk. "By his stripes I am healed," and "I feel like crud." Right? So we need to be intentional and speak the word of God. Now, that doesn't mean we can't convey to somebody that we're not feeling well. See, some people think that you can't even communicate reality. No, we can communicate reality, but just watch the way you say it. When we hear a report of somebody that received a negative report from the doctor, well, instead of saying about somebody, "He has cancer," we don't say that. I don't say that. What I'll say is, "Well, the report came back and the doctor said that they have cancer." See, there's a difference between me reporting what a doctor said and me saying, "She has cancer." You understand? See, because first of all, I didn't give the test. I didn't look at the x-rays or the MRIs or the CT scans. I'm just hearing something that was said. So all I'm going to do is convey what was said. But when I'm ready to speak something, I'm going to say, "By the stripes of Jesus, you are healed." Does everybody see what I'm talking about? So I'm not talking about not being able to communicate, honestly. I'm just saying we should be more intentional, not just to take what somebody else verified and speak it, but to say, "Well, here's what the report was, but here's what the word says." See? It's being intentional with the word of God and speaking with faith in our hearts. Now, did you know your emotions follow your words? A lot of people don't realize that. But listen to Proverbs 15:23. It says, "A man has joy by the answer of his mouth." A man has joy by the answer of his mouth. You see somebody that's discouraged. You see someone who's depressed. And often you'll find out that they're depressed because of their own words, because of what they say. "Hey, I'd be depressed too if I stood around and listened to you all day." Listen to what's coming out of your mouth. Complain, 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 complain. Criticize, criticize, criticize. Negative, negative, negative. No wonder you're depressed. No wonder you're discouraged. What does the Bible say? "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." You'd be surprised what happens if we'll obey the word of God. You know, Isaiah 54 is the lady who had been believing she wants a child. Not only is she barren, she has no husband. And you know what God told her? Sing. Sing. Sing, O barren, you who have not born. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman. In other words, God says, if you'll start singing and rejoicing about this, you'll end up having more children than Fertile Myrtle over here that's she's married to So and Sam. See, but God says, do you realize the power of our words? The power of our words. See, now, your finances will respond to your words. Your finances. Listen to Proverbs 13:2. A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth. A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth. Now, when it says the fruit of your mouth, it's not talking about what goes into your mouth. It's talking about what comes out of your mouth. You'll eat well by the fruit of your mouth. And it's not just saying, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. But we need to get the Word of God into our hearts and begin to speak right. Some of you have a gifting in your life, a grace on your life to do something, but you don't have the skill to do it, or you don't have the confidence to do it. Or maybe you don't have the vocabulary to communicate in that arena, but you have a natural grace. But maybe you were raised in a family that didn't have the vocabulary and the ability to communicate in a way that would open the door for you to use that grace. But did you know there's a scripture in the Bible that says, in the book of Isaiah, that God will give you the tongue of the learned? Did you know that the Holy Spirit can begin to work with you to where you pick up words and insights from people, and he'll give you the ability to begin to communicate and to articulate things that you couldn't before? Amen. But see, if you never look at the Word of God and see that God has the ability to give you the tongue of the learned, the tongue of the educated, then you won't even believe God for it. You won't even say, Lord, I thank you for giving me the tongue of the educated, the tongue of the learned, the tongue of the intellectual. Not for pride, so you can use your gifts, so you can take what God has given you and bring it out to the people. And the same thing with finances. There are things that God wants to do in our lives, but we may not know how to get from point A to point B. We may have a hurdle to get over. Well, we need to learn to speak. A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth. So we need to learn to speak that God is blessing us. And when you're going for a job interview, if you believe that that is the job you're supposed to have, begin to thank God. Lord, I thank you for favor on this job. Instead of saying, yeah, I hope it goes well, because the last few just didn't go that well. Do you see how you don't realize your words are powerful? You need to get faith in your heart. I've prayed with people and said, you know, let's believe for favor on this interview. And they would say, well, I hope so, because it just, you know. And I'm trying to use my words to release the favor of God on their lives, and they have no idea that their words matter. So we need to understand our words affect every area of our lives. Words bring life to your life. Words bring life to your life, or at least they can. Words also bring death to your life. In fact, let me read two verses that are familiar to us. First of all, Deuteronomy 30:19, and God says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. So notice God says, hey, I'm giving you the choice. I'm laying before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And then he gives us some advice. Choose life. Choose life. Well, how do you do that? Let me tell you one big primary way. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. How many of you believe Jesus knew that? Do you think Jesus knew that? Listen to what he said in John 6:63. He said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. It is the Spirit who gives life. Now, we know the Holy Spirit gives life because he is the Spirit of life. But I don't believe that that's what Jesus is referring to here. I think Jesus is talking about his flesh talking or his spirit talking. And he said, when I'm speaking from the Spirit, and of course we that are born again, we know that's rooted in the Holy Spirit. So it all goes together. But I'm telling you, you can speak out of your spirit or you can speak out of your soul, your mind. And you need to know there's a difference in the effectiveness of those things. They both affect your life. But when you're speaking the Logos of God out of faith in your spirit, just know that's the weapon of the Spirit, and that's the very power that created the universe. So the magnitude of that power is enormous compared to your soul, your mind speaking words, which does affect your life. And for one reason, it limits what God wants to do. It does affect you, but it doesn't have the potential that God's word has. See? And so Jesus said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Now listen to this part. The words that I speak to you, he said, are spirit and they are life. So when we know that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and Jesus says, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life, that tells you he knows death and life are in the power of the tongue, and he's saying the words that I speak to you are life. They are life. I'm choosing to speak life. How many of you are glad the words that he speaks to you are life? Amen. Amen. Now, you remember that Jesus was extremely intentional with his words. And you remember that he didn't even want to say Lazarus is dead. He said what? He's sleeping. He's sleeping. And then when the disciples said, well, if he's sleeping, he'll get better. Jesus said, okay, he's dead. But you remember when... See, so Jesus wasn't trying to be deceptive. See, he's just being intentional with his words, because if he says Lazarus is sleeping, that implies I'm going to wake him up. Exactly. We saw the same thing with Jairus. Do you remember Jairus that had the little daughter at the point of death? And by the time Jesus got there, she was already dead and the mourners were mourning. And Jesus walked in, and what did he say? He said, the child is not dead, but sleeping. Now, wait a minute. Was she dead? Yes. But he refused to say that because he wanted to speak something that would allow the life in his words to go out to make the path for life. Can you see that? See, we need to learn from him. We need to learn from him. It's not just flippant denial. You know what I mean? Just like, anything that's negative to say, I don't receive that. I don't believe that. It's not that. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that part of that's not good. I'm just saying that it's not just taking our mouth from this level forward and thinking that that's what's going to make the difference. Remember, believing in our heart and saying with our mouth is what makes the difference. See? And so Jesus was speaking these things from inside. It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. And so he would intentionally, from his spirit, speak life words and expect those life words to bring life to these situations. How loose we can be with our words. Our child is running with the scissors. Don't run with the scissors. You'll poke your eye out. Now, what we're really trying to say is that it's dangerous to run with scissors. But we just throw those things in there sort of as incentive, like kids are really going to say, oh, I wouldn't want to do that, Mom. But we've heard other people say it, so we just keep saying that. Thankfully, we don't really believe they're going to poke their eye out. It's just a figure of speech. But there are other things we say we really believe, and we speak it. And then, of course, when they happen, we say, I told you, not realizing we could have been a part of that. Can you see this? See, it's not that we don't warn, because we should warn people of potential danger. Hey, don't drive that direction, the bridge is out. You don't tell somebody, don't speak that. No, 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 the bridge is not there. See, we're not just talking about fanciful words. We're talking about taking the Word of God and allowing our heart to receive it and to look at a situation and to realize what's going on in that situation is not the will of God. And to then use our words to speak His word to that situation and stick to it. And stick to it. And not allow what we see to impact us and to get us off of the word. Now, Luke 6:45 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." So notice, out of the abundance of your heart, whatever's in your heart, your mouth is speaking. And you're either bringing forth good things or evil things. Think about God. God, out of the abundance of his heart, spoke this universe into existence. And then he would speak, "Let the dry land appear. Let the grass appear. Let there be fruit trees. Let there be animals." And then he saw that it was good. And he saw that it was good. And he saw that it was good. So God was speaking things, and good things were happening. Can everybody see this?
Yes,
now,
amen.
What Jesus said, though, is that's what man does. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good, and an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil, for out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. So things in your life that are good, no doubt many of them came from your mouth. And things in your life that are evil, no doubt many of them came from your mouth. No. Yes. And potentially, some of those things were put into your life when you were being brought up. And either your parents or other relatives or other people spoke things around you. They got into your mind, into your heart. Before you know it, you're saying those things and they're coming to pass in your life. You take somebody who's from, say, a very impoverished situation as a small child, and you could see the trajectory of their life and what would happen in the way that they talk, the way that they think about themselves and such. You yank them out of that family, and you put them over here in a very educated, wealthy family with dignity, kindness, graciousness, respect. And you have them raised in this environment, and all of those words of honor and respect and intelligence and education, dignity, are going into their ears and hearts and coming out of their mouths. That person's life is going to look very different than it would have if they had heard these other words and spoken these other words in their life. Is this true? Yeah. We know it's true. What God is saying is, may I offer you to be raised now in my family. And I'm going to put words in you from my heart that are at the highest level. No family on earth can function at this level. God's saying, allow me now to re-raise you with my words. And when you begin to speak like our family speaks, your life will begin to look like our family. And you'll look and say, yeah, that's good. And you'll look and say, yeah, that's good. And you'll look and say, yeah, that's good. Can you see that? What a privilege. What a privilege. Now, by the way, I've never taught that before. That's not in the notes. That's revelation from the Holy Spirit right there. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I came to hear that myself. Now, 11:3 of Hebrews is where that scripture comes from. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So God is teaching us how to do magnificent things by words, but not just fabricating your own words, but take his words. Let's start with his words and allow his words to manifest in our lives through speaking. And what is that? The sword of the Spirit. That's what that is. The sword of the Spirit. What are you bringing to pass in your life with your words now? Some of you don't want to answer. What's wonderful is you can change it. You can stop speaking that. Even if you're emotional and want to say it, don't say it. Go back and fill yourself with the Word of God and come back and say, this is what I have to say, and say that. I remember there was a man, an older man. I know he was, must have been in his 80s, because the lady that asked me to go pray for her father was in her 60s. And she asked me if I'd go pray for him. He was in intensive care, and the doctors didn't think he'd make it through the night. So I went there, and I couldn't get into the room right away. So I was standing outside, and I got right up to the door, the sliding glass door, to get into this intensive care room. And they said, oh, you can't go in right now. They're working with him. I said, okay. So I was able to just stand across a walkway next to a cubicle, and I waited. And I overheard them talking about this certain man and about how they didn't think he was going to make it through the night and how desperate his situation was and such. I don't always get to choose what I hear, but I do get to choose what I say. So when I was able to go in, instead of going in and, of course, the man was unconscious, but instead of going in and saying, Lord, you know, he's not going to make it through the night and he's sick and you see all this. Well, the Lord already knows what situation he's in. He doesn't need me to explain it to him. I went in and began to say, Lord, your word says, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So I lay my hands on this man in Jesus' name. And I say, be healed. I command you to recover. Well, I went on to the other appointments that I had and such. But I remember it was about 2 weeks later on a Sunday, an older man walked up to me. And he said, are you Pastor Jerry? And I said, yes. He said, I wanted to thank you for coming and praying for me. I didn't recognize him because when he was walking around, he didn't have tubes coming out of his face and out of his chest. I said, what happened to you? I'd never met him before. I said, what happened to you? He said, well, from what I understand, the doctor said I was supposed to die that night, but you came in and prayed for me, and I started getting better. And then the doctors started checking my heart again and found out that my heart, which was only a portion was functioning, started functioning again. He said, and the doctors were all amazed, and he said, and my daughter told me you came to pray. See, but I've learned you have to speak the word of God. I don't have anything in and of myself that will help this man. Positive thinking and positive confession is not sufficient. I need to know what God said. We're not talking about just positive thinking or confession. We're talking about speaking the truth of the word of God. In faith, it makes all the difference in the world. Think about Ephesians 5. God says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So what God is teaching husbands to do is, instead of commenting on the blemishes in our wives' life, the warts of her attitude, the wrinkles in her character, instead of commenting on those, I can take the word of God and I can wash them away. I can speak to her in such a way that gives her confidence, that makes her feel that she can win, that makes her feel valued, that makes her feel like a woman of dignity and respect. And when I speak that way to her, from the inside, she begins to carry herself like that. Amen. And in essence, with my words, I wash those blemishes away. How easy it is, though, to comment on the wrinkles, to comment on the warts of their heart and of their life. So easy to do, or for the wife to say, oh yeah, my husband, he's a drunk, he's a pervert, he's lazy. It's not that those characteristics are not true right now, but we don't realize when we speak those words, we reinforce them. We bind them to stay in that situation. And Jesus said in Matthew 18:18, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So we need to learn to loose our spouses, to loose our children, to loose our friends and family, even our enemies, to use our words to unlock them, to wash them. You know what it does? When you look at a young lady that I looked at a few weeks ago, and she had months ago no driver's license, no job, no place to live. And through some encouragement and some assistance and some help, she passed the driving test. After multiple attempts, by the way. Both written, multiple attempts, written, multiple attempts in the behind the wheel. She got a job. And she got another job. And she was able to move into a place that she was paying for. And she got a car. And I remember seeing her, and I said to her, I'm so proud of you. And it was like a sponge soaking up those words that somebody's proud of me. Because she didn't feel that. But I could see that by soaking up those words, it gave her some confidence inside. I can even do better. I can do better. We don't realize the power of our words. It makes a difference in our families. It makes a difference in our own lives. Kimberly and I made a decision long ago that we're not going to put each other down. I'm not going to hang out with the guys and say, oh, listen to my wife, man. She's always like this or she's always like that. No way. No way. Everybody else may start talking about their wives and putting them down. They'll come around to my turn and you'll notice I don't have anything bad to say about my wife. Now, I may comment on something fun that she wouldn't be bothered by at all, but I'm not going to put her down. That's my girl, see? She's a gift from the Lord. And she does the same with me. And you know the confidence that it brings me to know that she speaks about me with respect, even though she knows my weaknesses, and honestly, sometimes she can be irritated by them. But to know that she's not going to go out and speak that irritation to other people. She's going to speak about me with respect. And you know the confidence that it brings to me that I don't have to wonder what she's saying out there about me and, well, who cares what anybody says? And as you know, when anybody says, I don't care what people think, it's because they care what people think. But how powerful it is if we use our words to wash away one another's blemishes. We don't tell our kids you'll never amount to anything. My wife was so brilliant with our kids. They would start dreaming, I want to be an astronaut, or I want to be a policeman, I want to be a fire, I want to be. Well, of course, we want to teach them, look, you need to do what God called you to do. But my wife, instead of saying, no, you can't just be whatever you want to be with God. God call you to be. Here's what my wife did. She said, honey, you can be anything God wants you to be. And they would go, yeah, I can be anything God wants me to be. See, and it put confidence in them that God is not a limiting factor. God unlocks you to new heights. But notice the words, see, the words. Your words can also be weapons of death. Listen to Proverbs 26:18. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. Look at verse 18 again. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death. Firebrands, arrows, and death. Firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. Now, notice firebrands. Notice arrows. Do you remember we read in James 3:6? The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. You remember we read in Ephesians chapter 6, the shield of faith quenches all the fiery darts. See, James says the tongue is set on fire by hell. So you know what hell does? Hell sets people's tongues on fire with speaking criticism, evil, negative, death words about people. And when you speak those words, your tongue has been set on fire by hell. And you launch those words out into the spirit realm, and they land on people's lives and begin to burn. Your faith that believes that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, that you are a man of God or a woman of God, that you are anointed of the Lord, that you do have a calling, that you do have authority in Jesus' name, see, that faith quenches those. That's why you got to keep hearing the word. Because when those words come at your life, those concepts, you say, no way, no, I'm the righteousness of God. I'm a man of God. Now, it's not pride, see? But those words are set on fire by hell. People are going to speak words about you. But you have to listen to the word of God so that your faith quenches all of those and says, they're just saying what they know about me. You know, they're looking at me and they don't see much. But like Smith Wigglesworth said, he said, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. See, inside I've got the Holy Spirit. Inside I've got the Word of God, see? So they're looking on the outside. Bless their hearts, they don't know any better. They only know what they see. But inside, I am somebody. God changed me. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? See? But here's the point. Even Christians do that. We'll speak life one day and turn around and criticize somebody the next day. Our tongue was set on fire by hell to put them down unnecessarily. Paul said in Ephesians, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only what is good for necessary edification, building up. Don't let anything tearing people down come out of your mouth. Listen to Psalm 64, 2 through 4. The psalmist said, hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the rebellion of the workers of iniquity, who sharpen their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows. Bitter words. Notice, to shoot their arrows. What are the arrows? Bitter words. Bitter words. That they may shoot in secret at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear. So arrows are words. Fiery darts are words that are spoken. Isaiah 54, 17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. What do you need to do? Take your shield of faith and your own words and just knock those words down. Doesn't mean you have to attack people, but you just knock those words down. Knock those words down. Now, 2 Corinthians 5, 16 and 17 say, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we now know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. So, now if it's a believer we're working with, even if they have issues in their life, if they're born again, we should see that they're in Christ. So, they're new. We can see by the eyes of faith that they're a new creation, even when they can't yet see it. And when we speak to them, say, listen, brother, did you know that's not even who you are? You're a man of God. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. And we begin to speak the truth to them, and they begin to think, I am. I didn't realize I was. Everybody downed me so much and told me that I was such a knucklehead so much that I saw myself that way. But now I'm hearing that I'm a man of God. And inside, they begin to see themselves like men of God. And it makes all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. But we have to see them that way. So who should we be fighting? Not people. Ephesians 6:12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We fight the demonic realm. If you're going to speak against the demonic realm. Not against people. Not against people. Resist the devil, but speak life to people. We can cause God's powerful word to be completely ineffective. Think about this. We can cause God's powerful word to be completely ineffective. That's amazing. Isaiah 55, 11, God says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but accomplish what I please." But listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said in Mark 7, verse 9, "All too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition." Verse 10, "For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, see, Moses said," that's the Bible, "but you say," Moses said, the word of God said, "but you say, if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban,' that is a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do." So you can make the word of God of no effect by speaking something that's not what God said. God wants the word to happen for you. He wants the promise to come to pass. But because you refuse to say that the promise will come to pass, and you have to speak your mind, you have to speak what you see, it doesn't come to pass. Listen to Numbers chapter 14, beginning at verse 2. "And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims?'" See? Why did the Lord bring us here to die? To die. Is that what God said? No. He said, "I'm bringing you into the promised land." But they said, "Why did God bring us here to die? We're going to die by the sword." In verse 26, "And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, 'How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, As I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you.'" God says, "I'm going to do exactly what you said. You said you're going to die? Fine. That's what you want." By the way, this wasn't the first time that this happened. This was the 10th time that they rejected God and complained against him and didn't believe him. Verse 29, "The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness, all of you who were numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. You shall by no means enter the land which I swore to make you dwell in." What did they not do? Homileo. God says, "I'm bringing you into the promised land." They said, "We're going to die." See, they didn't speak what he said. They didn't speak what he said. Listen to Hebrews 4:3. God says, "So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." God said, "I'd already set it in motion to get them into the promised land from the foundation of the world." But their own words stopped me. Their own words. You can make the word of God of no effect in your life, even though it was God's will that you have it from the foundation of the world. And God allowed them to overrule his plan from the foundation of the world. And they didn't make it in. Psalm 78:41 says, "Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel." God wanted to do it, but they limited him and didn't allow him to bring his promise to pass. But listen to what Caleb and Joshua said in Numbers 14:6. "But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh were among those who had spied out the land. They tore their clothes and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread." We're going to eat them up. "Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." And guess what? Though it took another 40 years, those are the only two old guys that made it in. But I want you to notice what they were doing. Homolio, he said he would do it. He said he would do it. See, the power in our words is extraordinary. And all of these stories are in the Bible to teach us not to speak our mind or our emotions, but to speak what he said in faith and to let him bring it to pass. Now let's close with Psalm 91, the first 7 verses. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Notice verse 2. I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord. Notice the intentionality. Instead of the psalmist just saying, he is my refuge and my fortress, he starts off by saying, I will say of the Lord. In other words, I'm making an intentional commitment that I'm going to speak the truth, the right thing, even when everything is against me and it looks otherwise. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Notice, there's stuff going on all around me. Verse 4, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand. We're not talking about the enemy. We're talking about people around you that are fighting with you, and they're going down one by one. 1,000. At your right hand, right next to you. And your emotions and your mouth is going to want to say, we're going to die. Oh, no. Oh, no. But notice the psalmist. I don't care if people all around me die. I don't care if it looks like God's not bringing his promise to pass. I'm saying of the Lord, he's my refuge. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. But it won't come near me. But it won't come near me. Isn't that right? Boy, people coming and saying, hey, the flu's going around. You know what I say? Yeah, it's going right around me. You understand? See, you got to know who you are. You've got to know what's been given to us. It's not just flippant words. It's a faith in the logos of God. And we have to see with our eyes of faith the power of God's word, knocking that out of the way and saying, it can go to everybody all around everywhere, but not me. And not my family, not my marriage, not my finances, not my ministry. Amen. Amen. How many of you can see the power of words today? Amen. Praise God. Come on, put your hands out before the Lord. Say, Lord, help me to speak the word of God. Help me to speak life. Help me to speak blessing. Help me to speak truth so that your purposes can come to pass in my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.